Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. And this is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott.
I'm Celeste Carey, and good morning to you.
Today is February 8th, 2009.
Okay, if it's not, do we have a choice?
Well, I guess not.
Oh, okay.
We thank you for joining us this morning for what is expected to be a very great program. And before we get to the heart of our program, let's share a couple of announcements.
Got a brief announcement here. I want to encourage people who live in the community and who have shared in the engagement and the excitement of what has been last Thursday on Alberta to attend a community meeting tonight. It's hosted by Mayor Sam Adams and City Commissioner Amanda Fritz. They're inviting you to come and participate and share your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas on the Last Thursday on Alberta event. This takes place, as I said, today from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Acadian Ballroom, 1829 Northeast Alberta. The meeting is very important because we want to hear your ideas, your thoughts, whether you love it or loathe it. Be there. Speak your mind. Give ideas on how to make it better, whether you want it to continue as it is, continue with changes, or end it. Whatever your thoughts are, come share. The commissioner and the mayor would love to hear your opinion. So, again, this meeting is today from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Acadian Ballroom, and that is at 1829 Northeast Alberta.
Thank you so much for that announcement. Those of you who are living in the Pacific Northwest are probably well familiar with the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. Joining us today is George Pollitt, who is the executive director and co-founder and attorney for Heart of America Northwest, which is a 16,000 member citizens group providing research and leading organizing, legal, and lobbying effort in the region and nationally for the cleanup of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. Mr. Pollitt has been organizing on Hanford for over two decades, and as well as on environmental and peace issues. He's joining us this morning to talk about the work of his organization, as well as to inform those who are in the area of a couple of hearings that will take place in Hood River and in Portland within this week. Let me remind you, for those of you who are interested in the organization Heart of America, their website is hoanw.org. It is a valuable resource and website, so I encourage you to look at that website. Good morning, Mr. Pollitt. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste. Thank you for having me on, especially this week with hearings about whether Hanford will be a national radioactive waste dump.
Well, let's start at the beginning, because I know that for many people who have lived here, this is no new news. However, for some folks who may have just moved up, and especially if they've been steeped in the whole idea of green, the idea might be really confusing that we're talking about nuclear anything.
One would think that 30 years of trying to clean up Hanford, we'd have gotten it cleaned up. We would not be threatened with the Columbia River being contaminated, and we wouldn't have a new initiative supported by the president, which is a surprise, and the nuclear power industry to expand nuclear power and make more nuclear waste and ship it right through Portland, exposing our communities as it is headed to Hanford to be dumped.
And speaking of that, many people might be confused about exactly what's going on in Hanford in terms of nuclear cleanup. And as you hinted at, the president's born-again experience advocating for nuclear energy.
Well, I don't know if born-again is the correct term, but yes, the resurgence, we'll put it that way. It wasn't an awakening.
But in terms of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation, has there been effort to clean it up? And where is the Department of Energy in all of this?
Hanford is run by the U.S. Department of Energy, And for most people, it's a shocker to wake up and realize that despite the name of the Department of Energy, its primary mission isn't energy, it's making nuclear weapons. And Hanford is the most contaminated place in the Western Hemisphere. It's half the size of the state of Rhode Island. The Columbia River runs through it for 50 miles. And as we speak today, radioactive strontium-90 is seeping into the Columbia River from past dumping efforts from the 9 nuclear reactors that line the river there. Radioactive strontium is entering the river at 1,500 times the drinking water standard. 1 million gallons of liquid high-level nuclear waste has leaked from old single-shell tanks at Hanford. This is amongst the most deadly material on the planet. And the Energy Department said for years, don't worry, those leaks won't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Now we know that those leaks have traveled to groundwater and are beginning to move rapidly towards the Columbia River. We don't have a lot of time to wait and sit on our hands. But instead of cleaning up those leaks, the Energy Department proposes to leave them there forever as they spread, and to use Hanford as a national radioactive waste dump, dumping even more waste from nuclear weapons and nuclear reactors at Hanford in shallow landfills. They're not proposing to dump the waste, the fuel rods from reactors, but lots of other waste from nuclear weapons production and nuclear energy production in shallow landfills, which will leak. And these hearings this week are about the Energy Department's own environmental impact statement covering using Hanford as national radioactive waste dump and whether or not it is appropriate to walk away from the leaks and discharges from those high-level nuclear waste tanks. The Energy Department's own analysis shows their plan will cause huge contamination of the Columbia River. And we really need people to come to the DoubleTree Lloyd Center Hotel on Wednesday night to oppose Hanford being a national radioactive waste dump and to demand cleanup, not more waste. And same for Hood River, Tuesday night at the Best Western Hood River.
And speaking of those hearings, I understand that the Heart of America Northwest will have sponsor a pre-meeting workshop, is that correct, at Hood River and Portland?
We sponsor a pre-meeting workshop, which will start at 6 o'clock at each of the hearings, and the hearing itself begins at 7. And we do this because the Energy Department, which wants to use Hanford as a national radioactive waste dump and wants to just leave the waste in the ground from the high-level nuclear waste tank leaks, they're not going to present the information about what those risks are to the river. And they're certainly not going to talk about the risks to the people of Oregon as the trucks roll through the state heading to Hanford. So we offer a pre-hearing workshop starting at 6 to help people if they want more information to prepare their testimony. But, of course, it's really easy to come to the hearing at 7 o'clock and just testify and say, no, we absolutely oppose Hanford being a national radioactive waste dump. We don't want more waste dumped. We want the existing contamination cleaned up to the best ability technology has. And we don't want our children exposed to trucks of radioactive waste coming through our community.
Well, Jerry, it's really fabulous that we're going to have a chance for testimony. But I have a couple of points. One is that will that be enough time to help people prepare an adequate testimony? I know that with regard to a lot of the tangential court hearings with Hanford, especially regarding people who've had health claims because of that, there's been efforts to kind of suppress public participation. So will this really help people adequately prepare? And will there be enough time for people to actually give a meaningful testimony?
Well, we're hoping that, you know, a lot of people will turn out at the hearing. And it only takes 2 to 3 minutes to effectively testify to get up and say, for instance, I'm a father, or I'm a mother, or I'm a grandparent, and I'm concerned about the Columbia River. I think the Energy Department is following the wrong values, and I don't want my children or grandchildren exposed to radioactive waste on the highway, and I want to support the proposal that the high-level nuclear waste tanks are cleaned up, not abandoned. And this is about values. The Energy Department is pursuing the wrong values, and the way we have to stop them is by having the people in Washington, D.C., who I think are beginning to listen to the Northwest on this issue, have them hear that we are adamantly opposed to what they're proposing and that it's a political hot potato if they try to do the wrong thing. So it doesn't take much. There's also on our website, which I thank you for having mentioned, www.hoanw.org, there's a citizen's guide that puts these issues in simple terms and allows you to see some of the backup facts and prepare testimony in advance or to send in a comment using the link there. You can email in a comment to the Energy Department opposing their plans.
Jerry, can you give the website again so people can look at it and prepare in advance?
Sure. The website is H as in heart, O as in of, A as in America, N as in North, W as in West, .org, HOANW.org. And right on the homepage, there's a citizen's guide to the U.S. Department of Energy's Tank Closure Waste Management Environmental Impact Statement, which is a fancy name for the Energy Department's proposals to leave the high-level nuclear waste tank leaks in the ground and let them spread, and to use Hanford as a national radioactive waste dump.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott. I'm here with my co-host, Celeste Carey. We're joined this morning by Jerry Pollitt, who is the executive director of the Heart of America Northwest Research Center, a public voice for Hanford cleanup. We're speaking this morning about the Hanford nuclear plant, as well as the public hearings which are taking place this week in Hood River and Portland. We remind you for more information to go to their website, hoanw.org, for more information and to access their citizen's guide, which I happen to have a copy in my hand as we speak. Jerry, we've for those of us from the Northwest, we've heard so much about Hanford in years past, and more recently we've heard of federal stimulus dollars going to Hanford. Could you give us some information about where the federal stimulus dollars are going and that process there?
Sure. As I said earlier, Hanford is the most contaminated place in the Western Hemisphere, and the challenges for cleaning up Hanford are vast. You're not talking about just one set of contaminated areas. You're talking about square miles upon square miles. And there are 9 nuclear weapons production reactor areas along the Columbia River where the Energy Department and its predecessors simply took waste from the reactors and buried it in unlined ditches or discharged liquid waste straight into the soil. And a lot of the stimulus money is going to cleaning up the soils right alongside the Columbia River, which is a very important effort. It's something that the public, going to public hearings, and the state of Oregon demanded that there be a high emphasis on cleaning up the Columbia River corridor for 50 miles, and that is happening in terms of the soils. However, the groundwater that's contaminated, that's flowing into the Columbia River, is a long-term serious challenge, and has less attention with those stimulus dollars. And as with anything else at Hanford, the Energy Department's priorities are not necessarily the public's priorities. So, as I mentioned, we have high-level nuclear waste tanks sitting at Hanford 35 million gallons of waste remain in old single-shell tanks, which have already leaked a million gallons. And those tanks are decades past what they were designed to store nuclear waste for. The Energy Department says it will eventually empty them, but it wants to delay the date for emptying those tanks by 22 years, taking until the year 2040 to empty the last tank. And frankly, more will leak if we wait that long. The Energy Department is building the nation's biggest construction project and biggest chemical plant, which is a plant to convert the liquid high-level nuclear wastes into a glass form so that they won't leach into the ground. It's called the vitrification plant. And it is $8 billion over budget. It was supposed to be fully operational by 2011. The Energy Department now says it won't be operational until 2019. And this gives you a sense of the scale of where the money is going and the scale of the problem at Hanford.
Well, Jerry, let me jump in here really quick and ask a couple of questions. The fact that it's over budget and behind schedule leads me to wonder, are we looking at wasteful techniques? Are we looking at the fact that we're trying to encompass one of the most dangerous elements, you know, to mankind without having adequate science and technology to actually do the task at hand?
The answer to your question is yes to both. It's an unprecedented chemical and nuclear engineering challenge to turn the high-level nuclear wastes into glass at Hanford, in part because the Energy Department dumped all sorts of chemicals into these wastes over 50, 60 years, didn't even keep track of a lot of it. But it's also a problem, and the cost overruns and the delays are in large part due to how the Energy Department hands off its decision-making to the contractors, which are some of the same, well, they're the largest contractors in the military-industrial complex, so to speak, and names that you're familiar with, like Bechtel, which is building that vitrification plant. And even engineers within the company were warning the public, going to Congress, we're on 60 Minutes twice, talking about the fact that the Energy Department and the contractor were building the plant before the engineers had finished designing whether or not to how they would process the chemicals. And essentially, it's been a fiasco in terms of management. And that is the largest reason it's years behind schedule. It's not that it can't be designed, it's that it has had to be redesigned over and over again because the Energy Department ignored safety problems and was rushing ahead and allowing the contractor to build it before the designs were tested.
And apparently, even now, we don't really have the technology to do the feat we're trying to accomplish.
Yes, and there's a lesson here for this debate about whether or not nuclear power is clean.
And well, let's hold that because we have a couple of callers, and that really goes into a whole different mindset that we have now, and I want to talk a little bit more about that. But we do have a few callers. You are listening to KBOO Portland, More Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us, and good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Celeste.
Yes.
Good morning, Cecil. Thanks for the show, and good morning, Jerry. It's Jeff in North Portland, and who dat? Who dat, I tell you. Man, what a great game that was. I wanted to tell you.
Okay, Jeff. Football fanatic.
You got it. It was a beautiful, beautiful game in so many ways. But I wanted to pose several questions. Thank you so much, Jerry, for mentioning vitrification. I had a question about it. I understand now clearly that the chemicals are so commingled, so mixed together in this broth, this stew, that they cannot be separated and vitrified. But in France, they have the vitrification program. I'm assuming those are specific wastes that they can completely account for. How is it working there? Number two, are medical nuclear wastes considered part of the stuff that the government wants to ship to Hanford to be disposed of. And those are significant. Remember, those are all the nuclear medicine stuff we do, and it eventually has to be sent somewhere. I heard they used it to irradiate our foodstuffs in some places. And finally, I understand that some of this $8 billion has already been spent to open a museum already open at Hanford for the public to go and see the Great War effort, the Manhattan Project that brought us all of these great wonders. You might be able to comment on that museum. And finally, the plume itself under the ground level. This is groundwater plumes. You cannot see. Maybe you can from newfangled highfalutin kind of satellites and so forth and sensors. But is that plume itself the size, half the size again, that of Rhode Island, or is it not? Those questions, I hope you had a pencil and paper handy, because
well, we'll pick at least one or two of them, Jeff, but thanks. Great question.
Thank you.
Great. And yes, Jeff, that was a great football game. and my household was split down the middle of who we were rooting for, so it was going to be great no matter what. So let's talk about vitrification. This is the technology for turning liquid high-level nuclear waste into glass. And to understand this, first you need to take a look at why do they make liquid high-level nuclear waste. It is the world's stupidest thing to do. It is fuel rods come out of reactors. They're solid. They're high-level nuclear waste, incredibly radioactive, and they are melted down in acid to extract plutonium and uranium. Then you have to make what remains, the liquid high-level nuclear waste, back into a solid so it won't leak out of tanks and contaminate the groundwater and can be moved eventually to a deep underground repository. In France, they do vitrify, and in Britain, they were vitrifying, and because they knew exactly what was going into the liquid wastes, it's easier. However, it is not without problems. The British plant at Sellafield, and you can just Google Thorpe, T-H-O-R-P-E, and nuclear accident, and you'll find that at their plant they had a massive accident shutting it down, and we're trying to make sure that the lessons from that accident, which is going to cost billions of pounds to clean up, are going to be incorporated into this plant. And unfortunately, from the French plant, there are liquid waste streams that result from vitrification that get dumped out into the ocean there, and the same at Thorpe. So it's easier when you know what is in the tanks to turn the waste back into a glass. I did have a pen and paper, so I was writing down Jeff's questions. His next question is, are they dumping nuclear medicine wastes at Hanford? And there is a commercial radioactive waste dump at Hanford run by a private company on land leased by the state of Washington. And unfortunately, the state of Washington continues to allow that landfill to be operated as unlined trenches, soil trenches. We stopped the Energy Department itself from running unlined soil ditches at Hanford to dump radioactive waste just 5 years ago. It is something that should have been outlawed 40 years ago.
Yes, decades ago.
So nuclear medicine waste from the Northwest only is buried in the unlined ditches at Hanford.
Well, Jerry, can I ask a question? Why is the medical community not in an outrage about this? Having worked in the medical field, having taken care of patients who had radioactive implants when I was a nurse, I often wonder, am I going to be glowing here any moment now? Surely there should be somebody else looking at this and saying, this is just not acceptable.
Well, I think, again, it's up to the public to say running unlined landfills for radioactive waste is unacceptable. That was our message. My organization spearheaded Initiative 297 in Washington State in 2004 to stop Hanford from being a national radioactive waste dump. And at the time, the Energy Department was still dumping massive amounts of radioactive waste in unlined ditches. Now, you and I can't go into our backyards and dig a hole and put pizza boxes in. It's against the law. our municipal governments can't run unlined landfills for municipal garbage. But our federal government and the state of Washington thinks it's okay to have unlined ditches for radioactive wastes, believe it or not. And it was only because we were on the ballot in 2004 and the pictures of those unlined landfills were so horrendous that the Energy Department said, okay, we're going to stop using unlined landfills at Hanford, but we're not going to stop trying to use Hanford as National Radioactive Waste Dump. We'll just put the waste in lined landfills. But the state of Washington, incredibly enough, is still sitting back and saying the unlined landfill we use for commercial radioactive waste, most of which is not from nuclear medicine, most of it's from the Whoops Energy Northwest reactor and other commercial sources.
Whoops, is
okay,
that the actual name? Jerry, tell me that was not a pun. You said Whoops.
No, this the company name is U.S. Ecology.
Okay.
And
that's a bad omen.
Right. It's all about public relations and choosing names that sound benign. And that landfill is leaking seriously. Contamination is spreading from it, just like every other unlined ditch at Hanford is spreading contamination. And here's a figure for people to think about. The unlined ditches into which the Energy Department dumped radioactive wastes, if they were lined up end-to-end, stretch for over 40 miles. And just like the high-level nuclear waste leaks, the Energy Department's plan is simply to leave the waste in the ditches where it will contaminate the groundwater. So even when we clean up Hanford under their plans, this new EIS shows that in 100 and 200 and 500 years and 1,000 years, the groundwater gets recontaminated and the Columbia River gets recontaminated even after we've so-called cleaned up Hanford, because the Energy Department doesn't really plan on cleaning up what's in the soil and the groundwater today.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland. Join us in the conversation, 503-231-8187. We're speaking with Jerry Pollitt, who is the executive director of Heart of America Northwest. We're talking about hearings that will take place both here in Portland and out in the Columbia River Gorge to discuss how to prevent, how to alert people to the government's plan for using the Hanford site as a continued dump site instead of cleaning it up and closing it.
And the hearings this week on Tuesday at Hood River at the Columbia Gorge Hotel, and in Portland Wednesday, February 10th at the DoubleTree at Lloyd Center. Let's go to a next caller, and maybe we'll have a chance to return to the two other questions that Jeff asked.
Yes.
Good morning, caller. Thank you.
Hello, is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify, Jerry earlier mentioned that it was the Best Western Hood River Inn, which is where these meetings out here in Hood River have always been, but tomorrow night's meeting is, in fact, at the Columbia Gorge Hotel. But, you know, just to say, you know, during President Obama's State of the Union address, it was ridiculous. He refers to clean coal and clean nuclear. It's so ludicrous to even head that direction. But we all live downstream, and
yes,
whether it's Portland or Hood River or Mosier, and I'll tell you what, I've been going to these meetings out here in Hood River for close to 20 years, and not to dissuade anybody from going to these meetings, but we have to show up and show some support and get out there and bang the drums and tell them we're tired of this and clean this place up. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for your call.
Thank you for calling with that information and the call to action. It's really important. I'd like to make sure we touch on the issue of trucking the wastes and the risks to Oregon from the waste being trucked to Hanford. The people of Oregon bear the risk of Hanford twice. The first is the most immediate risk if Hanford is used as a national radioactive waste dump. when the trucks roll through Oregon. And then the second is over the coming decades when the waste seeps back into the ground through the groundwater and into the Columbia River, and it comes downstream. The Energy Department's impact statement says that in 1,000 years, the plutonium-239 level seeping into the river will be 300 times the drinking water standard under its plans. That means 300 out of 10,000 adults who drank that water would die of cancer. That is shocking when you're supposed to have cleaned it up. That's because they don't want to clean it up. More immediately, the trucks of radioactive waste heading to Hanford will be emitting radiation. And we're talking about 17,500 or more trucks heading to Hanford, most going through Oregon, including coming up I-5 and their presumed route, although they're not legally required to take it, is 205 to 84. If, God forbid, there was an accident or a terrorist attack, my organization hired a team of physicists to examine what would happen if there was an accident with a fire or a terrorist attack on a radioactive waste truck carrying the highly radioactive plutonium waste they want to dump at Hanford. And the results are truly, truly something that we need to pay attention to. If there was a fire or a terrorist attack on that truck at the intersection of 205, then over 300 square miles of Portland would have to be evacuated and decontaminated, which could not be done with any current technology. You can't decontaminate people's apartments and their homes and businesses. And over 1,000 people would die of cancer. This is from one truck, one major accident, or one foreseeable terrorist attack on a truck. I like to ask the question, why is the government spending so much money trying to make sure that plutonium doesn't get smuggled into this country for a dirty bomb, when the government is going to turn around and put plutonium on trucks heading to Hanford, which are like saying, here's the target, you don't have to try to smuggle the plutonium into the country, we'll just go after, just here it is. And
there essentially it is. We do have, make sure we have another caller holding here. I did have a question. We've got two callers here that I want to add on the stacks about, we've got come in concerns about fish from the Columbia River as well as potential threats to the Bull Run water supply are questions that we've got coming in as well. We'll put those on the stacks, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I had a question. Listening to your guest talk about wanting to create a dump out of Hanford, is this like, I guess, a government subsidy, so to speak, where the nuclear industry kind of is not responsible for the waste that they create, so it becomes a taxpayer problem at some point in time?
As many are.
Well, there is no doubt that the nuclear industry is looking for a huge set of subsidies, including disposal of its waste. And for the high-level nuclear waste fuel rods, Yucca Mountain, Nevada, is no longer on the table for a repository. So many of the nuclear advocates are saying, let's do something called reprocessing, where you extract the plutonium and uranium out of the fuel rod and reuse that. And what is resulting from that, that is the same process that created the liquid high-level nuclear wastes sitting at Hanford in the tanks, for which we have no solution today. And that's their solution for nuclear waste. It is a massive subsidy, and there are many other subsidies. The Energy Department does much of the research and will build the test reactors for these new reactor programs rather than the commercial industry doing it. Yes. And the waste from the Energy Department's reactors is, Energy Department says, headed to Hanford to be buried in shallow landfills. And that's, of course, a major subsidy, and it's one of the things that's driving them to say, we need a cheap place to dispose of the waste. Let's put it at Hanford.
Mm. We're speaking this morning with Jerry Pollitt, who is the executive director of the 16,000-member citizens group, Heart of America Northwest. We're speaking this morning about the Hanford nuclear plant and on the hearings this week on federal plans to make Hanford a national radioactive waste dump and abandon existing contaminations. The hearings will be held in Hood River on Tuesday at the Columbia Gorge Hotel at 7:30 p.m., is that correct? 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Yes, 7 o'clock.
6 o'clock pre-hearing.
Pre-hearing. And on Wednesday, February 10th, at Portland at the Doubletree at Lloyd Center, 6 o'clock for the pre-hearing and 7 for the hearing. As before we continue our conversation with Mr. Pollitt, let me remind you that you are listening to KBOO. And at 9 on the OMO Variety Hour, you will hear an interview with a doctor who just returned from working in Haiti, a discussion of the uneven application of child protection law, and an interview with an expert on food safety and the food industry. At 10, Barbara Bernstein premieres her new radio documentary, Heavy Weather, which looks at the effect of global warming on the Pacific Northwest and examine what is being done in response. At 11 on Health Watch, Dr. David Naiman interviewed naturopath Dr. Kim Hapke, professor of psychology at the National College of Natural Medicine, about a holistic approach to depression. And at 11:30 on Health and Healthcare Forum, host Roberta Hall interviews Dr. Chin Lee, a Vietnamese-born American-trained pediatrician who works at the Benton County Health Clinic. All of this here on your community radio station, KBOO. Right now, you're listening to More Talk Radio. Our guest, again, is Jerry Pollitt, who is the executive director of Heart of America Northwest.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning, and good morning, Jerry. I'm wondering if Heart of America Northwest has other groups helping and affiliated with you, for example, Columbia River Keepers, Physicians for Social Responsibility. I don't see any other names.
Well, we're working very closely with both of those groups.
Are you?
We traditionally have. We even, with Columbia River Keeper, for instance, have done things like having our volunteers together to call people to come out to the hearing. So we work very closely with Riverkeeper. Oregon PSR, I know, has put out, forwarded to its email list, our citizen's guide or fact sheet about the hearings. We work with many groups around this Northwest. Unfortunately, I think that for many of the largest environmental groups, they kind of say, oh, Hanford, that's your issue, and they don't think about the fact that it is the most contaminated place in the Western Hemisphere and the biggest threat to the Columbia River.
Right.
And we all need to be working very hard together to stop it from being a national radioactive waste dump.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that's happening.
Thank you for your question, Grace. And that's, you know, one of the things that I've been concerned about, and I want to go back to an earlier question about the medical community, not really making a prominent outcry, because I understand that there's been a huge backlog of medical claims for folks who have suffered from either working in the reservation or just being downwind of the pollution, and that one of the judges who has, I think it's the same judge now that's hearing the case, has considered the medical claims to be burdensome and too time-consuming to listen to.
Well, you're talking about a serious miscarriage of justice here. People who learned that they were exposed to Hanford's radiation releases in the 1940s and 50s and into the 1960s, the airborne releases from Hanford were massive. And people with thyroid cancer and other cancers and thyroid disease who've lost their thyroids filed suit, and only 6 of the cases have ever been heard in court. And the Energy Department and its contractors, using federal taxpayer money, have spent far more fighting the lawsuit for 20 years while people died, instead of simply providing them with medical care and some compensation. It would have been cheaper to simply give them all the medical care they asked for and compensation than to fight their lawsuit, which has now cost over $100 million. And the reason is the Energy Department doesn't want to admit liability for the deliberate releases of radiation from Hanford in the 1940s, 50s, 60s. Going beyond that, the workforce, there are thousands of claims for cancer from the workforce, and the program is really bogged down in terms of compensation. And it's not just radiation, it's also beryllium, which is a deadly metal. And I was with some of the workers who have beryllium disease, which is like black lung and fatal. And I was with them last week, and you know, the bottom line is the notion that you're compensating someone by giving them $150,000 for a disease that will kill them is really sad and inappropriate. And that's our system. And even then, you've got thousands of people waiting for claims, and their families are waiting long after the workers have passed away.
Where are federal legislators on these issues, senators and representatives from Washington and Oregon?
I'm pleased to say that the Oregon congressional delegation has been very strong over the years, opposing use of Hanford as a national radioactive waste dump. And Senator Wyden and Senator Cantwell from Washington led the fight in the U.S. Senate to stop the Bush administration from renaming the waste in the high-level nuclear waste tanks a few years ago. They wanted to rename it from high-level nuclear waste to Jell-O. Just a joke. Basically, they said, if it's not high-level nuclear waste, if we change the name, we won't have to empty the tanks or clean up the contamination. And Senator Wyden and Senator Cantwell led the effort to stop the Energy Department from renaming the waste and walking away. They've also been very strong about stopping Hanford from being a national radioactive waste dump. We encourage people to call Senators Wyden and Merkley and their U.S. representatives and ask them to have a statement opposing the Energy Department's plans at the hearings. In Washington State, Hanford has a huge economic impact in Washington State, and there's been a difference in how it's approached because of the economic impact. And
by economic impact, you mean a positive economic impact.
Right. You're talking
about... It provides funds, money, jobs.
Right. Billions. Mm-hmm. It's the largest public works project in the United States. It is the single largest recipient of stimulus money in the United States at $2 billion. Washington, a lot of everyone in the Washington congressional delegation says, send us the money, but not everyone says, clean it up all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad. It's a difference in approach, and it takes our lobbying effort to put that pressure on to say to the Washington congressional delegation, it's everything the Energy Department proposes is not simply okay because they also ship money to Hanford.
As a citizen watch group, you are well aware of the things and subtle things and changes that are happening. I was wondering if you could help the average citizen to understand the process in terms of the public hearings that will take place in this region over the next month or so. Public hearings will accept public testimonies. What happens after that?
Great question, Cecil. I'm glad you asked that. This process, the Energy Department will decide whether or not it wants to clean up those high-level nuclear waste tank leaks or use Hanford's National Radioactive Waste Dump in about a year. Right now, they have a draft environmental impact statement out, and it says, this is our plan, and here are the environmental impacts, the contamination growing into the Columbia River, for instance, which is shown very vividly in their environmental impact statement. And they will have to do a final impact statement after reviewing all the comments, and then they will issue their decision. Unfortunately, they've already said that they don't even want to consider up any proposal to not use Hanford as a national radioactive waste dump. That's why we need the political pressure and the outpouring of from hundreds of people. Then, if they don't change their mind a year from now, then the ball is in the court of the state of Washington, whether or not Washington State will use its federal hazardous waste law authority to say you can't add more waste to Hanford and you have to clean up those leaks from high-level nuclear waste tanks. And Washington State has that authority because all this waste is mixed with regular hazardous chemical wastes and toxic waste. Mm-hmm. So the state has authority and can say you cannot add more waste because of our standards for protecting groundwater from toxic waste, and you must clean up what's already leaked because of our standards for cleaning up toxic waste.
So what can we do to induce, you know, a quicker action? Part of the problem seems to me is not only are we dealing with a two-prong issue, which is the fact that the government and all of its affiliates refuse to even look at this as a threat and refuse to take responsibility for it. But we also have to deal with the fact that there's a lot of collateral damage in terms of health and collateral damage in terms of people thinking that these are the only jobs we're going to have, so we're going to try to take these jobs without looking at the consequences.
Well, Hanford needs to be cleaned up, and the job can be done right without hurting people, or it can be done wrong.
Right.
And one of our jobs as a watchdog is to work with safety advocates to make sure it's done right. But in terms of health, you know, again, let's take the example of trucking waste to Hanford. Some of the trucks will carry waste that is extremely radioactive, as hot as spent nuclear fuel and high-level nuclear waste. The Energy Department's own impact statement on trucking high-level radioactive waste to Hanford for reprocessing said that even if there's no terrorist attack, no accident, 816 adults along the truck route will die of cancer from the radiation just emitted from the trucks as they go past schools, as they sit in traffic, and people are dosed. And that's no accident, no terrorist attack. When we analyzed that information, we realized that the Energy Department only looked at the radiation dose to adults, believe it or not. They didn't include children. Now, I may be willing to take this risk, but I sure as heck am unwilling to impose it on our children who will be stuck in traffic next to us. And it is unconscionable that the Energy Department proposes to ship these wastes knowing that it will kill people and still go ahead and do it for the economic reasons of supporting its nuclear expansion. For these are nuclear weapons expansion proposals and nuclear power expansion proposals. It's unconscionable, and that waste, you'll be in traffic next to it. It'll go past our schools, and people will get cancer, even if there's no accident, unless we have a huge outpouring of support saying, you've got to stop this, unless we get our senators and members of Congress to tell the Obama administration this is unconscionable, reverse course.
Well, thank you so much for sounding the alarm, and we want to encourage people to come out and testify. And if you have any concerns about how to testify, not only can you go to the website, which is hoanw.org, and download the Citizen's Guide, you can also come early to the pre-hearing and get some tips on how to testify and have an effective testimony. But most important, we want you to come and to speak out. There are, of course, lots of people who might be concerned about how this could affect their energy. But bear in mind, we've come up with a lot of real green solutions, and nuclear energy is not green. Thank you so much, Jerry. Once again, will you tell us where the events, the testimonies will be heard?
Tuesday night at the Columbia Gorge Hotel in Hood River. 6 o'clock is the pre-meeting workshop, 7 o'clock is the hearing, and then Wednesday night at 6 o'clock pre-hearing workshop and 7 o'clock hearing at the Doubletree Lloyd Center Hotel. We'll have signs up directing people in the hotel to where the pre-meeting workshop is. Thank you for this public service of letting us tell people about this and encourage people to come.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be a watchdog for our water, our land, and our health.
We've been speaking with Jerry Pollard, who is with the executive director of Heart of America Northwest, a 16,000 member citizens watch group, which is concerned about nuclear energy, and particularly around the Hanford nuclear plant. Again, the hearings will take place, the public hearings will take place this week in Hood River and Portland. And if you are unable to attend the hearing, you may submit your comments. Again, the hearings are taking place on Tuesday, February 9th at the Columbia Gorge Hotel in Hood River, 6 o'clock for the preparation workshop, 7 o'clock for the hearing in Portland. On Wednesday, February 10th, at the Doubletree at Lloyd Center, again the same time, 6 for the pre-hearing.
The pre-hearing, preparation.
Preparation.
There we go.
And 7 o'clock for the hearing itself. If you are unable to attend, we urge you to submit your comment by U.S. mail to TC and WMEIS P.O. Box 1178 Richland, Washington 99352, or email tc@saic.com. Now, I'm aware you may not have been able to get all of those information, but we refer you again to the website of Heart of America Northwest, hoanw.org. And so you may download the Citizen Guide, which gives you information and guide you through the problem and the solutions that they offer. Hanford has been around for over a half a century, and citizens have continued to struggle against this hazardous thing in our midst. And we will continue to work and continue to inform you of what's being done. Continue to listen to KBOO for more information about this and other issues.
Yes.
And we'd like to thank you for, Jerry, for being with us this morning.
And be sure to contact your representative, and especially your senators, and let Senator Wyden and Merkley know that you are concerned about Oregon's role in this, and that you find the transportation of nuclear waste through our metropolitan area and into our pristine areas unacceptable.
And if you live in Washington State, do contact senators from there to let them know about your concern.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. Thank you for your questions, even if we weren't able to get to all of them. But most importantly, thank you for your support for KBOO Portland, your community connection.